Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day for those of us among us who that is. It's just great to be here and to worship with you this morning. In my past work in the Northern Territory, I visited leaders in some remote places who were facing some pretty challenging situations in their local community. Situations that were very intractable and just felt overwhelming and seemed helpless, hopeless. In those times, I found it really hard not to find myself drawn into worrying for those that I was working with. I just wanted to find so much to find a way forward to be able to help them in their situation. We're all prone, aren't we, to being anxious or worried in different seasons of our life. Our body is made to naturally respond to threatening situations to help us survive. However, sometimes those responses happen in us when we're not in any immediate danger. Over a 12-month period, I'm told that around 1 in 6 Australians suffering from anxiety. It's a mix of anxious feelings, thoughts, and bodily responses that have a major impact on everyday relationships and responsibilities. One of the reasons I believe anxiety is a big issue today, firstly, is that the world is so, globally connected. Back in the first century, you might have imagined a slow news week would have been the norm. But as journalists now gather news from every corner of the planet, I think a slow news week is almost non-existent. And you don't have to go too far to find the stories that we watch, the movies that we watch, are often about things that we might become anxious about. And so it's a little bit the air we breathe. So anxiety is a big challenge, widespread enough that I don't really feel like I need to convince you that this is a significant problem that we face. As I begin, I want to acknowledge that anxiety is complex. It affects people differently. And one way to understand it is that it's a holistic response. It involves our body and our mind. It's a response to future fears. Ruminating on what might happen in ways that that we respond to. So anxiety can stem from many factors, biological, psychological, emotional, and spiritual. And my focus this morning is really on the spiritual, which I think is vital, but it might be that what I have to say this morning is that's maybe not all that you need. So if you're struggling, if this is an issue that you're struggling with, then please reach out and seek assistance to myself or other staff and also counselling resources. Since anxiety is such a big challenge today, the words of Jesus in our passage are just as relevant for us now as they were in the first century. Jesus, as recorded by Matthew, is midway through his Sermon on the Mount. He's been teaching on giving to those in need, prayer, fasting, possessions, and now on anxiety. So if you've got a Bible in front of you, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6 from verse 25. And so I invite you to follow along with me as I speak. So that's Matthew chapter 6 from verse 25. So Jesus has just spoken to his disciples about not trying to serve two masters, so God and money. He said, don't covet possessions and money. Don't hoard it up and pile it up, as in the end, this will disappear. Jesus sees the pursuit of money as an empty task and ultimately spiritually at odds with God. But Jesus now moves to another pitfall, those times when we're consumed with worry about the basic things in life, what we're going to eat and drink or wear. In verse 26, Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." Doesn't make sense to read this as Jesus saying, I don't think, just simply don't be concerned about making sure you have enough to eat. I think it's good to take responsibility to plan and to be able to feed yourself. So the way I read this verse in context best is in the sense of do not excessively ruminate about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body or what you'll wear. To ruminate is to start to go kind of round and round in our thinking, which can be okay, I think, for a short time, but to constantly do this can be to our detriment. In the same way, money is not to take prime position in your life. We're not to let obtaining the basics of life take center stage, then to the detriment of our trust and faith in God. Do not worry is not so much, I think, either a command from Jesus, but more like an encouragement not to excessively ruminate over the things that are outside our control. It is not Jesus' intention, I think, with this to burden us with guilt, particularly for those of us who are suffering from anxiety, in a sense to worry about worrying. But really, it's there to encourage us to draw near to God at such times. Jesus goes on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Jesus here helps his disciples to lift their focus, literally, to look at the birds. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I have 3 points in this little section to draw out from this verse. The first is about who God is. Birds are not aware of God, but God still feeds them, right? God is the provider and sustainer of all things. Those who know me know that I enjoy playing the board game Wingspan. And one of the things I love about the game is the sheer variety of birds that are in the game. The basic goal is to collect birds and add them to your collection by feeding them things like worms, rats, wheat, fish, berries, nectar. At the start, it's often just hard work finding enough food, right, for all the birds that I want. You know, like, I want this bird or that bird. Of course, the game, of course, simplifies reality, but it reminds me how amazing God is. In the real world, if you think about it, in the whole world, there's countless birds, and they're all fed without worry on their part, because God provides. Here I am in this game. I'm struggling to keep even 15 birds alive in the game, but God sustains them all. So Jesus draws attention to God, who is our Heavenly Father, and that is fitting, I think, as we reflect on Father's Day, to spend some time thinking about how God the Father provides and feeds us. Whenever I pause to reflect on what I'm thankful to God for, I'm often amazed at how much comes to mind. Just the simple, like the food before me, the people who have helped me, the situations maybe that I'm aware of where I've seen God at work. In these moments, I think in that thankful moment, it's like I'm putting on spiritual glasses. Suddenly I see how much God provides, even in things I never thought to worry about. Jesus reminds his disciples of the truth who God the Father is here. God is a provider. We are not left to defend for ourselves. God is close to us. Many people have different experiences of their father, not all perfect. And my father, he's not perfect. But as I reflect on my life, as I was growing up, he raised me by working full-time to provide for my mum, myself, and three siblings. We were not well off, but we had food on the table every night, even when I was very little and unaware of much because of his hard work. Only when I grew older did I realise and fully appreciate my dad's faithfulness, consistency, and care to provide. As I said, he wasn't and isn't perfect, but this picture is a bit like our Heavenly Father to us. Many of us are worried in life, but I encourage you to draw near to our loving Heavenly Father when we're tempted to worry. So that's the first thing. The second we notice in verse 26 is that birds live in the present. Birds, I think it's a little bit of humour here, birds don't build barns nor store a barn's worth of food for their future. Birds don't plant crops or reap like humans do. Well, of course, that would be excessive, wouldn't it? Imagine seeing like a kookaburra building a barn. No, I can't really imagine that. The food for birds in nature is supplied, isn't it, by God's design in the vegetation and the waterways. Humans naturally want to control, don't we, what's around us. But it becomes a problem when we try to control what's beyond our power. Worry does this. It pulls us into the past or into the future. We start to ask, what if this happens? You know, what if this happens? Or how will I handle that in that situation? In our search for control and security, we can end up then stuck, ruminating over problems that may never happen, or that we couldn't change even if they did happen. The way birds live is a reminder for us to live in the present and on what we can do now. We should plan, but we shouldn't let it consume us. Focusing instead on God's gift of the present moment and let God take care of the future. Third thing is Jesus uses the how much more in his teaching method. He says, are you not much more valuable than the birds? And a little later he asks, will he not much more clothe you? So when we find ourselves worrying about life, stuck in the future or in our regrets, or maybe trying to change the past, we're to come back to the present. Remember who God is and what you mean to God. If God feeds the Eurasian goshawk, the pigeon, even the dangerous at the moment swooping magpies, or the Indian miner, or even the hooded plover, then how much more will he feed us? How much more will he provide for us? God is not like the world. To be cared for by God, we don't need to be intelligent. We don't need to be clever. We don't need to be lucky to be provided by God, for God, or to be born into the right family. God will care for you because God is good and because you are valuable to him. So this is my first bit of homework for you. Whenever you see a bird, and I know that there's lots of them out there, have a go at praying this prayer as a reminder, just to say, thank you, Heavenly Father, that I'm precious and that you will provide for me too. So you hear that bird? Thank you, Heavenly Father, that I am precious and that you will provide for me as well. And for extra points, you can remember it in three things: provider, precious, and present. God is provider. I am precious. Live in the present. I'll put that up near the end of the sermon as well as a reminder. But let's move on to the next verse, verse 27. Jesus says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Our lives are very much in the hands of God each moment of the day, and to believe that my success and longevity in life is all due to my cleverness, I think is really hubris. Truly, there are many scenarios, and it's not good to worry about them, but there are many scenarios when our life can be taken away in an instant. You may be already aware of this in the news. Some of the tech giants and billionaires, despite their unprecedented power and wealth and ability to control the world around them, they're building doomsday bunkers or fortified compounds. It seems that they're so worried and fearful of the future, whether it be a pandemic or climate change or AI going rogue, they're building these bunkers under their mansions. If this is true, I wonder, why don't they put as much effort into using their power to take care of the planet and those they make money off? But back to our verse, Jesus' point is just as relevant today as it was back then. Resist worrying by committing your future into the hands of God and come back to the present. And then so Jesus then moves from birds to flowers. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. So I can imagine Jesus as his Sermon on the Mount, his outdoors, he's getting inspiration for his teaching by using the distractions or the things around everybody else that he can see. So maybe a bunch of birds screeched, and Jesus then just kind of rolled with that. Then maybe he looks in the ground. The flowers, they're in bloom. And Jesus says, the flowers of the field, they don't need to labor or spin for their magnificence. And yet, these flowers outdo the clothes even made by the super rich King Solomon. Jesus is giving encouragement to those who worry that God can be trusted. There's no need to be consumed by our clothing. God cares for us even more than birds and flowers and will provide for us. Take a look at these flowers that the flower ministry put together. I think they're fabulous. Each week they put on such a display of just wonderfully beautiful flowers. And so I wonder, as we're looking at them, whether they can be a weekly reminder of how much more beautiful our Heavenly Father will clothe us. We might look at it and go, they're beautiful, but that one day, no matter how old or wrinkly or grey, without colour and creaky our bodies get, God has a plan to clothe us in heavenly clothes fit for dining at his very own banquet. Then Jesus moves on, verse 30. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The encouragement Jesus is giving is for his disciples to focus on their heavenly Father rather than be consumed by the problems of tomorrow, to remain present and in faith in God as provider, and that he values you enough to provide for your needs. And instead of excessively ruminating as if we had no God to care for us, we are to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and God will take care of your basic needs. Now, there's not enough time to go into the depth of seeking first God's kingdom. In many ways, each week we are delving into what it means to seek God. But I want you to hear this teaching of Jesus as an invitation to draw near to him and what God is doing. He wants you to pursue the things he has put you on this earth to do. We're to live out the upside-down gospel kingdom in its values, and to live out God's purpose for you. Living without God as our provider, I think we can be crushed by the expectations of being the one who provides for ourselves, to fend for ourselves and others. But if we live knowing the truth that God is always and forever our provider, we are freed to pursue God in the present, no matter how dark our world gets. He said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So going back to my time in the Territory, it was hard not to stop ruminating about the tough situations that some of my fellow leaders were going through. However, to be honest, it really helped me to have my spiritual lenses on. It was not easy, but I held on tight to the goodness of God, and that He would supply what the leaders needed. I also trusted that they were loved and they were valued by God as well. And I felt that God provided me courage to live in the present, to sit and listen and be God's encouragement to them through that time. Let me finish with the slide that I shared before. So this is my homework for you. Try over this next week. Whenever you hear a bird, either the birds that you love or you don't love, pray this prayer. And let's pray that together now. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that I am precious and that you will provide for me too.